Jack Barber on Waiting Up for Children.
Jack, he's exhausted. Go on to bed. I'll wait up for him.
Oh, okay, babe. I'll make it. Oh.
The parents of six beautiful daughters can lose a lot of sleep during the holiday season. Tonight, Mr. and Mrs. Jack Barber are waiting up for Sharon, Janie, and Mary Lou.
I didn't say anything.
What time did you tell the girls they had to be home?
Not later than 1 o'clock.
It's 1 now.
And it's still too early to worry.
Not for me.
Oh, Jack, I mean it. Come on up. I'll wait. I'm not a bit creepy.
Don't kid me. Fifth straight night with 4 hours a night. You're exhausted.
I don't see why we have to sit up anyway. They have their keys.
You know why we sit up.
Oh, I suppose so. What kind of a car did you say that is?
Huh?
Jay's car. The one Sharon went in. What kind? I can't seem to remember.
A Yalmer.
Yalmer. Are they terribly expensive?
Oh.
Really?
Huh. Made in Norway, put together like a watch.
His family must be really terribly rich.
Don't be snobby.
Well, Jack, I'm not. But if a daughter is going to fall in love anyway, a mother can't help being relieved if he turns out to be such a well-mannered boy, and at least they wouldn't have to worry about where they'll get breakfast. It's one thing a mother thinks of. I don't care how democratic you want it to be. But that's sure to go through her mind, can he support her? That'll be the big question with all six of them.
2 minutes after one now.
Listen.
Hmm?
Car. The car coming. Nope. It went by.
What's the name of that midget Janie's out with tonight?
Shame on you. He's 4'11" and a half, and he's grown. And what's more, he's brilliant, Jack. All A's since freshman year, even in phys ed. He's a wonderful shot with a bow and arrow.
I know. Kilpin what?
Kilpin Carzoni. His mother was Doris Kilpin of Hillsboro, and his father owns an importing company. They go to our church, and they're in our PTA.
I just hope the boy can tell time.
Listen, another car. Oh, no. It's going by.
That's other people's kids getting home.
Oh, the girls hate to have us wait up for them.
They'll have to get used to it.
Did Father Barber always wait up for Claudia and Hazel?
To the bitter end.
Mrs. Carzoni thinks it's kind of old-fashioned for parents to wait up. I guess these days, most people just go to bed and hope for the best.
Oh, sure, and they can read the juvenile delinquency news in the morning.
I don't know what good it does to have us sitting here half dead.
In the first place, I'm dressed and ready for action, like a fireman.
Yeah.
And in the second place, this has a moral effect. Oh, that's true. I know for a fact it makes a haunting picture in the minds of the young.
And spoils the evening.
I remember when I used to take you out. Long about midnight, I begin to get mental images of your mother peering out the front window. Telepathic, maybe.
Oh, what a wonderful time, Eddie. Thanks a lot. Good night. Mom, I only sat out 1.5 dances all night long. And Susan Tilbury said my dress was the prettiest one there.
You it is lovely, Mary Lou.
You be sure to tell that to your grandmother.
And Eddie wants me to come to his house New Year's Eve. And he said to tell you he's sorry we were 4 minutes late. His father will come and get me New Year's Eve because he doesn't believe in kids driving out when they're drunks out. Oh, golly, I had fun under my seat burn. I'm going up and soak him good. Is Sharon home?
Not yet.
I don't see how she can make him wait like that. I'd either tell him yes or no and get it over with.
She's promised to tell him on January 1st. Now go pop in the tub so we can space out the bath. Nobody around here's had any sleep for night. Kiss Daddy and go up to bed.
Not Mom. Not Daddy. I really had a swell elegant time. I wish you could have seen this. Eddie and I danced good together.
Dance well together.
Yeah, we do, too. Tonight.
My, she's getting so pretty. Sue, what's the matter?
You ever notice they make the report to you? Don't even give me a grin.
Oh, God, that's self-pity.
Oh, I'm just pointing out.
Because it's a man's world. I'm a woman and they know I'll understand. You couldn't imagine what it means to be a girl and sit out dances.
You die, Jack. You shrivel inside.
Mom?
Yes, yes?
Don't worry about Sharon and Jake and I. They're home now. They're parked out in front. Mom?
Oh, good. There they are, sitting there talking.
Stand back, Betty. Don't let them see you.
I bet he's showing Sharon the ring again. Father Barber said it would take great strength of character for a high school girl to turn down her first proposal. He said she'd probably get engaged for a while just for the prestige value.
Listen, somebody gunned the motor.
Oh, no, where they're driving away.
That must be the smallest car on the market.
Come on.
Let's sit down.
Jack, it's only 7 minutes after one. Stop worrying.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Junior Garth confronted her husband, overcome with shock and loathing. How could he face it? How could he face his children, this man who had dishonored his family, this trusted civil servant who had betrayed his government? This is Ed Hurley, your host on My True Story. On Monday, you'll hear the tragic drama of a poor but honest man who succumbed to greed, envy of those who had more than he, had started him on the wrong track. His sudden desire to play the game finished the ugly work. You'll want to be listening to this drama of a man who took a bride. Monday on My True Story. My True Story brings you a complete full-hour drama every weekday on NBC. So enjoy My True Story and My True Story's companion program, First Class Fanfare. Together they make for wonderfully varied listening every weekday over most of these NBC stations.
It's 1:25 now. Jack and Betty, sitting on the edge of their chairs, have heard another car drive away. Now this is followed by quick footsteps on the porch, and they watch hopefully over their magazines as the front door opens and Janie of the high IQ comes in.
Mom, I danced every dance, and Peter invited me to the prom with him in June.
Good for him. That's very sensible of him.
Isn't he? I'll dance.
Mm-hmm.
And Mom, he said if he doesn't have to go to his grandmother's over Washington's birthday, he wants a date with me then. Take down two dates, Mom. Much ahead.
He thinks ahead, too. You should have lots in common.
Oh, we have. I dance every dance, and that's a record for me. Peter says boys used to be afraid of me because I'm on the honor roll. But as they get older, they don't mind so much. He says lots of fairly stupid boys develop sense enough so they want to marry brilliant women. Well, I'm going to take a shower. I had a wonderful time, Mom. Good night. Night, Daddy.
Night, Jane. The back of my hand to you, Pop.
Don't be sensitive. Car out in front again.
Well, it's about time. 1:30.
Oh, the traffic isn't everything. I think that's pretty good. I bet thousands of parents would be tickled to death if their kids were only half an hour late. Hi, Mom. My son.
What's the matter, honey? What did he do?
Oh, Daddy, he didn't do anything.
You were out in front before. Where did you go?
I thought I'd forgotten my purse and started back to get it, and then I found it on the floor. Oh, Mom.
Oh, Sharon.
Oh, he's a darling boy.
What's the matter? Why are you crying?
I'm not. Then what is it? He keeps the ring right with him all the time. I didn't realize until tonight. He's even got my name engraved inside it, and the date. It says Elizabeth Sharon Ann Barber, January 1st, 1959. Because he thinks I'm going to start the year by saying yes.
Well, are you?
I don't know, Daddy. Oh, golly, you know something? I think when I was really happy was in the 8th grade.
Oh,
Jerry. Oh, Mom, I had a beautiful time at the dance. Jerry and I danced every single dance together. But all the time I kept wishing we were both in 8th grade and he didn't have that ring in his pocket. I guess the most perfect time in a woman's life is the last year of grammar school before you have to make decisions.
In the master bedroom at 1:45, Jack lies alone in the big double bed, fingers locked back at his head, waiting patiently for Betty, who is having a last-minute conference with the girls. Now she comes in, takes off her robe.
I guess that ring is quite a temptation. Well, the ring and the boy. That's what they were doing out in front, looking at the ring.
What were you three talking about?
Just now? Oh, the band and various things.
Yes, come in.
Good night, Daddy. Night, Daddy.
Thanks for waiting up, Daddy.
Well, good night.
Night, Mom.
Don't do that again.
What?
Don't ask them to speak to me. I'll get their attention on my own. I'll find a way to earn it. Oh, my parents. Let's turn off the light and go to sleep.
One Man Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carl Denis Morse. And features J. Anthony Smythe, Bernice Berwin, Paige Gilman, Russell Thorson, and Mary Adams. In Chapter 1, Book 133, Mr. Consider Martin packs his bag. Frank Martin speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carl Denis Morse production and comes to you from California. Madeline Farrell stars next in The Affairs of Dr. Gentry as our 2 hours of drama in the afternoon continues over most of these stations.